Hello, I'd like you to step back in time with me for a moment and join Joan Lewis, a regular contributor to our programmes and EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. So, Joan, we're recording early because of Easter.
All the Holy Week and holiday and Holy Day activities, the Triduum and two papal masses on the Triduum, the big events of Good Friday, obviously, culminating with the Via Crucis, the way of the cross at the Colosseum.
That's always very impressive, isn't it?
Very, very much so. And then, of course, Saturday night, and then another time the Pope has two masses within a framework of just a few hours, practically. And Saturday night, the vigil in St. Peter's Basilica, and then Sunday morning, the Easter Sunday of the Resurrection Mass with the Pope and his Urbi and Orbi blessing. So at this point, we can't say to people, stay tuned, they will have heard what the Holy Father said, whereas we're speaking a little bit in advance. But Holy Week is upon us with Palm Sunday and all.
Palm Sunday, then.
But, you know, actually, if I can take just a second, I'd love to mention something that happened. The news came out the day before Palm Sunday, and that is that the Holy Father has donated $100,000 to aid the people of Syria. Now, the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, of course, meaning one heart, that is often called the charity arm of the Holy Father, and they had announced last weekend that the Pope made a donation of $100,000 in support of the people of Syria. And we know the Pope has mentioned the violence and the problems there many, many times and is always praying for those who suffer. And it was Monsignor Gianpietro D'Altozzo, who is the secretary of Cor Unum, who arrived in Syria last weekend to deliver the Holy Father's gift to representatives of the Syrian church. So if you look at Holy Week, you look at the passion and suffering of our Lord, you look at a different but perhaps in some ways similar passion and suffering of so many people in the world who do suffer
and Syria
violence. Yes, exactly. But, Palm Sunday was the beautiful event that it always is. It's in St. Peter's Square, the massive participation of cardinals and bishops in all their finery and red vestments and the procession in the square where, obviously, the Pope blesses all the palms. And as a matter of fact, he and the cardinals are holding palm fronds that I think must have been 5 or 6 feet tall, very, very big fronds.
Whereas here they rest olive branches, no?
And the Pope carried the palm, but there you'd see in the square, this always impressed me when I came to Italy, you would see olive and palm. In the U.S., any parish I've ever, been a part of has always had the palm branches. And then we bring them in on Ash Wednesday the next year to be burned for the ashes to be used on the subsequent Ash Wednesday. Because there is a very specific way to be rid of blessed palms. And you are supposed to burn them, obviously in a supervised setting, or you can you can bury them in a garden. But you're never, ever to throw palms away. So from one year to the next, when you get new ones and you say, what'll I do with the old ones? Well, that's what you do. Well, Palm Sunday was very beautiful, and I loved the Pope's description of Palm Sunday. It's like year after year listening to John Paul and then Benedict, it's like, how can they always come up with something new for something that's very old, a 2-millennia-old celebration like Palm Sunday? And he said, Palm Sunday is the great doorway leading into Holy Week, the week where the Lord makes his way towards the culmination of his earthly existence. He goes to Jerusalem. He goes up to Jerusalem to fulfill the scriptures and be nailed to the wood of the cross. And the Pope calls this the throne from which he will reign forever, drawing to himself humanity of every age and offering to all the gift of redemption. And, if I can insert a little tidbit in here. I remember on my first trip to the Holy Land, our guide explained one day, he said, you know how often in the Bible you will read about Jesus or the apostles or something going up to Jerusalem? Or you might read they were going down to Jericho. And in fact, I always wondered, what do you mean going up to Jerusalem? Why don't they just say he was going to Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem was on this hill. And if you were coming from certain other parts of Israel, of the Holy Land, you had to go up to get to Jerusalem. So very literally, they mean that in the Bible. And if you went from Jerusalem to Jericho, you had to go down because it was down a hill. So just a little bit of trivia, which I learned when I was in the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Palm Sunday also marks World Youth Day in a sense, no?
Exactly. And this year, celebrating the 26th World Youth Day. And interestingly enough, then on Monday, April 2nd, the Holy Father did meet with 5,000 young people from Madrid who were accompanied by their Archbishop, of course, the Cardinal Archbishop of Madrid.
Is the place where the last World Youth Day was held.
Last August, exactly. And they came to thank the Holy Father for having come. And then this was on Monday, and then there was a press conference this week also to present World Youth Day 2013, which is going to be held in Rio de Janeiro. And in Brazil, and the Archbishop, of course, Archbishop Tempesta was there from Rio, and they presented the preliminaries of the program and talked about the website in about 5 or 6 different languages. So the registration won't begin until this summer, but in any event, all the information's out there in multi-languages, and it's the second time in the history of World Youth Day. The very first International World Youth Day was held in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And so this is only the second time in all these years that an International Youth Day has returned to Latin America. And then I'm sure our listeners know that every Palm Sunday, not alternate years, but every Palm Sunday is automatically World Youth Day. And then every 2, and in some instances 3 years, we have the International Youth Day. So looking back at the events of the week, we have the Pope is recovering from his very long airplane flights to and from Mexico and Cuba, his 6-day visit to those countries. So it was kind of quiet at the end of last week. So then we had Palm Sunday. And, of course, we had the audience on Wednesday in which, as he always does when returning from a trip, the Pope talks about that trip. And it was really amazing. He was very enthusiastic about his trip to Mexico and Cuba. He talked about what he had in mind before he went, the joy of the people, the enthusiasm in both countries of the people. And he said, I realized what I intended to do when I visited those countries. And he said he wanted to confirm the people in faith and in hope. And he talked a little bit more at length about his, or this was my impression, about his time in Cuba and Santiago, the 2 masses he celebrated in Cuba. And he asked people to be aware, especially now at the time of the Passion, of God's reconciling and transforming love. And he said, let us allow that love to transform our lives and enable us to celebrate with joy the mystery of the resurrection. So that was Wednesday. And then, of course, you know, we have all the Holy Week events. The Holy Father has celebrated the Chrism Mass in St. Peter's Square Thursday morning. And but I do want to mention 2 interesting things about the going back to the audience for a second. At the end of the audience, the Pope told the 11,000 pilgrims in St. Peter's Square, reminded them that Wednesday, April 4th every year, marks the United Nations International Day for Landmine Awareness. And the Holy Father said, now there is, of course, a convention banning mines, but that doesn't stop a lot of people who still want to kill others with this insidious way. And the Pope encouraged all the people in the world who are working hard to free mankind from these terrible and underhanded devices. But one thing that happened, which was not seen by the public, and this is so cute, not seen by the public, but happened before the Pope got into the white jeep to go to St. Peter's Square for the audience. An Italian chocolate company gave the Holy Father a 6-foot-tall Easter egg, chocolate Easter egg. I've forgotten how many kilos and kilos and kilos of chocolate.
He looked a bit perplexed at this Easter egg, didn't he? Because it was huge.
It was absolutely huge. Well, taller than he is. And then the Easter egg is all, there's a, like a saran wrap over it, but they had had the Pope's papal coat of arms on that. And he's apparently giving it to a home for juvenile offenders or delinquents or something like that. But our listeners should know that in Italy, the tradition of giving Easter eggs, they can be 2 inches in size or 2 or 3 feet tall. And obviously, the bigger they are, the more costly they are, the more chocolate there is, the more beautifully they're wrapped. But inside, there's always some little gift. So we probably will never know until this is opened in the home for juveniles if this chocolate company put a gift in for the Holy Father. So if we find that out, we will bring that to you right here on this show. But and you also, people in Italy, because this actually happened to me once, can special order chocolate eggs and put gifts inside, you know, jewelry or maybe a special little toy for a child or 2 airline tickets for a summer vacation. So anyway, well, let's wish our listeners a very blessed and meaningful and happy Easter.
Thank you very much, Jen. And you were listening there to EWTN Bureau Chief here in Rome, Joan Lewis.